Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today I have Margie with us. So Margie, why don't you introduce yourself?
Well, thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm thrilled to be here and be able to address your audience and see what ways I can inspire them to grow on their journeys. My name is Margie Bro. I am an energy medicine specialist that my journey to create my own business centered on healing and liberation was all around moving through my own survival mode and finding what really lied beneath all of the limiting beliefs and all of the stories and the roles that were handed to me starting at a really young age. And when I started my healing journey, that really inspired me to show other people that they could also be liberated and also experience a life free of limitations. And that's always expanding. So I'm really excited to be here.
I'm excited to see how this conversation unfolds. And I feel like that is what self-actualization is. We go through all of this whole journey. We get on healing and then it's reaching our hand back to help someone else, which I think is just so powerful. So how would you describe survival mode?
I would describe survival mode in operating in like constant flight, freeze, fawn. Maybe you're one more than the other. For me, I particularly was more in like a freeze or a fawn space when I was in survival mode. But I feel like we also oscillate between all three, between all four, even if we have one that we naturally gravitate towards. And so in that space, you are caught in a lot of chaos and you're constantly being swirled around by your emotions instead of being able to observe them. So that survival mode feels very limiting. It feels very constricting. It feels like a lot of reacting inside of emotion instead of being able to practice to pause to observe it and process it before then choosing how you're going to respond. It's It's a lot of not being able to identify your emotions and feeling really stuck. And then also like having periods of like deep depression and mania and anxiety. And this is even with people who don't have formal diagnoses. I think that's really common for people who are stuck in survival mode. Also to experience like imposter syndrome and constantly like questioning yourself and if you're being truthful and honest and authentic and feeling really disconnected from the world and disconnected from other people. So survival mode can look so many ways, but those are some of the ways that it showed up for me for sure.
And I agree with you. It looks different for everyone, but it also looks the same. And I think there are so many commonalities in our stories, which is why I lead with storytelling on this podcast. And now I am interested in hearing your story to and through survival mode.
Yeah, so I mean it is a story. My path in survival mode really was started really early in my life. So as early as the age of 4 is when I remember narcissistic abuse, emotional abuse, and sexual abuse starting to happen to me in my home. And so I had two emotionally unavailable parents, one who was really the one creating roles and narratives and scapegoating me as the villain in a lot of stories, even at the age of 4, and the other parent who was just trying to really survive. So like was not only emotionally unavailable, but physically unavailable too, because they worked so often, they left the house, they put their ostrich head in the sand and just tried to keep the peace when they were in the home. And so, as early as the age of 4, I was made to look in the mirror and tell myself I was a liar. And so, this was a common practice of these sorts of belief systems being handed to me, whether it was I was a liar, whether I was the cause and source of pain, whether I was an attention whore, whether it was I was doing things only to gain access to something, I was manipulative, you name it, I was told it. And most types of abuse you would find in the world, I experienced in my home, mostly by the hands of one parent, but there were other people involved in the abuse as well, specifically the sexual abuse I endured long term. And so I had no idea who I was. I was constantly in a battle of this like victim mentality because I felt like everything was being done to me and I had no control. I often was in a positive projective space trying to show everybody that I had it all together because I didn't want to create more pain. I didn't want to create more suffering. And I believed I was already the cause and source of so much that I tried to hold so much in, and pretend everything was fine all the time. And I was navigating between pulling in people who were bullying me, much like one of the people in my household, specifically my mother, and also like finding relationships that put me in the savior role because I didn't want to be the victim. So I was finding a lot of friendships where I that they had even more chaos in them than those going on, so I could completely not take accountability for myself and self-abandon and try to save and fix them. And so it was a lot of navigating that flight freeze fawn pattern. And again, which I said earlier in the conversation, like fawn was, I thrived in fawn, or I thought I thrived in fawn, especially in those bully relationships and the people that I was trying to fix and save. I just wanted them to feel better. I just wanted them to like me. I just wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be loved because I didn't feel that for myself. So suicidal ideation was also something I experienced regularly, and that started as early as the age of 10. And so I constantly was like just feeling so depleted, so sad, so alone, and so misunderstood. And I didn't even understand or know myself. And during all of this time, I was in and out of therapy. And therapy armed me with the ability to be really self-analytical. I had a lot of really cool words that I knew how to use. I could understand some of what was happening on the outside. And but I still didn't really understand myself because there wasn't tools I was being given. There wasn't like a roadway to where some of the trauma was hidden, or even these belief systems that I was operating inside of how to liberate from them. And so I even more like in that positive projection was able to make people think that I was all good, like I had it all together. So even though I was operating in that survival mode and I was so disconnected from truth and self and had so much trauma compacted over the years, people still came to me for advice. People still came to me for help. People still came to me for their stuff. And so it made me trick myself into thinking that like I really truly was like I was all good. I was all set. Like I didn't need more help because people came to me with what they needed. And so in my early 20s, I was 21 or 22, I had been engaging in a conversation with the family member that was my most prevalent sexual abuser. So he had been abusing me from age 10 to 16. And I reached out to him in my early 20s, really wanting to gain clarity around, like, why did you do that? And still in this perception of myself of being healed because I had gone through so much therapy and so many people wanted my help. When he responded, you know, he was 20 years older than me. So he responded with telling me that even at 10, he was in love with me and he would do it all over again. And that flight, freeze, fawn response kicked right in. Like, there was no thought process. It was not a conscious choice because I was still already on survival mode, thinking I wasn't. And I went right into the fawn. I went right into, like, okay, how can I appease this person so that no more harm is caused? And again, that wasn't a conscious choice. That was where my operating systems went. And so I was sustaining this conversation with him, and it was really unhealthy. It was a very unhealthy conversation. And a friend of mine who w knew what was going on was like, "Hey, I love you. I'm not judging you. I understand like what's going on here, but this conversation is not helping you. It's hurting you." Like he is him telling you that he was in love with you when you were 10 and he was 30, and that all of that abuse that you endured was justified because of that. That is not helpful. That is not a helpful narrative for you to continue walking inside of. And she was like, "I really think that you should get Reiki done on yourself. Like I just started getting it. It's been really helpful for me. I'm suggesting it to you." And that was my first step into actually moving out of survival mode and actually finding modalities that were going to help me liberate instead of stay in those soup the soup yeah, the soup of suffering or the loop of suffering.
I love exploring the different modalities because I think the average person knows about therapy. And I think people, particularly with compounded trauma, would immediately say therapy isn't it. You know what I mean? So I love being able to explore because I think a lot of people, particularly with compounded trauma. So, you know, you have the big T trauma, you have the small T trauma, then you have compounded trauma back to back. And when it's compounded, it definitely changes who you are at the core. And I'm not saying that big T or small T trauma doesn't do the same, but I think we are so end up being so far removed from the original state after compounded trauma, because I think each time you go through this cycle of having to redefine who you are, even if you're not doing it consciously, there is this redefinement, and without tools, we often define ourselves according to the trauma that we've had, right? Like you spoke about the victim narrative that you carried so boldly, really, but that's what happens without having the right tools. So when I say I get excited about different modalities, I really want to explore, for the audience's sake, other avenues that people can take in order to address their trauma.
And really, there's so many modalities, and that's really truly where my healing started. And we're never done on the healing journey, until our bodies drop, and then still on the other side, there's still some healing we get to do. We just get to do it a little easier because we see a little more freely on the other side. And so, you know, my first segue into energy medicine was getting Reiki done on myself, and so I would go into those sessions, and that Reiki is a very gentle form of energy healing, and it is very helpful to help remove some of the heaviness that you're feeling. But in the energy sessions that I was getting, there wasn't a lot of talking. There wasn't a lot of back and forth. There wasn't like coaching per se. It was like this passive healing experience. And so where I left feeling lighter, I would regularly go back into those holding patterns because I wasn't able to see them to free them or take accountability for my part in them and the agreements that I had made that I didn't know I didn't have an option not to be making. And so I started to seek information. And so another friend was like, okay, well, if you're looking for more healing and you like Reiki, why don't you try learning about it for yourself? Why don't you like go through the certifications? Because when you go through the certifications, you're still getting more healing. So maybe that will help you to understand it on a deeper level. And that really sparked and ignited my want to learn more, like to go deeper in ancient wisdom teachings and different modalities. So I went all the way up to my Reiki master teacher, and that was very helpful. But I still didn't feel like that spark of truth. I still didn't feel like fully me. And so I started to seek other information. So I went through like an intro to shamanism and received some of the Kaimoi rites, and I went through herbalism, and I went through aromatherapy, and I was finding all sorts of classes I could take that would help me expand this foundation that I felt I had. And then I found my way into an energy medicine class that was teaching about natural law. And so at that point, all I had known about natural law was like manifestation and law of attraction, which like a lot of people know about. It's super sexy. Everyone wants to manifest and attract things in their life. And what I learned in that class is that there was much more to natural law than manifestation and attraction. And there was a whole host of laws that talked about human beings being a part of the natural cycle. And in that class specifically, they were teaching about the law of polarity. And as someone who lived and breathed in positive projection, it really, like, in the moment that they were talking about it in that class, like, every cell lit up. I saw a whole different path that I could now walk in the world. I just needed to choose to get on it. I just needed to choose to step on that path and keep going, no matter what obstacle might come to my path or be in my way. And so that's what I decided to do. So I joined their training programs. I started learning around about the foundations of energy medicine with natural law woven in. I started getting very consistent with my own healing sessions with healers who had this as a foundation. And then I continue to learn more. So I'm trained in the foundations of energy medicine. I am trained in more shamanism. I'm trained in breath work. I'm trained in crystal work. I'm trained in the synergy of sound, which is a sound healing modality. I'm trained in the ancient art of channeling. I'm trained in past life recognition. And I also apprentice deeply in these trainings now because my intention is to be able to teach others how to use these modalities in their life. I'm also an energy for life coach. So I'm teaching people how to weave this into their life, even if they're not interested in becoming a coach or a healer themselves. I also teach Natural Law 101 to other people. And then I also take clients. But every time that I'm taking a class, I'm apprenticing for a class. It's also very important that I seek my own healing. As a practitioner and someone who's a way shower, I wouldn't tell you to get a healing session if I wasn't getting a healing session myself. And so I get one done every 4 weeks because no matter where you are in the past, no matter how much healing you've done, no matter how many modalities you've dipped your toe in, you still have a shadow and you still have blind spots. And there's still someone who's a little bit more ahead of you that can shine some light on the things you haven't witnessed yet and can help you remember who you are when you've left yourself. And like yourself is your beloved, you are the sacred temple. And when you step out of the sacred temple, you need someone to help guide you back in compassion, not someone who's agreed to shame and blame as a way of life, which is something that I have disagreed as my way of living. And so, though, like that journey from needing to wanting to and needing to be healed so that I would stop being in self-destruction mode to like now I'm way showing others was very intentional and very thought and very still is and was very expansive as far as the things that I know that are out there. I mean, and there's so many other modalities that I am not trained in that are out there. There's movement medicine, there's yoga, there's all sorts of somatic work you can do, which is really just intentional movement in the body. There's breath work, there's mudras, there's human design, there's so much out
So
there.
much.
There's
It
so much
really
out
is.
there. And they, the core of what I believe is that being in rhythm, working with the law of rhythm, and being able to hold the pulse of the earth, so connecting in with that Schumann resonance, the pulse of the earth, the holder of her toroidal field, is really what ignites the results that I see, not only for myself, the my community, but also the people that I serve. So sound is a huge carrier of my work. And so as part of my journey, like my voice was one of the things that was out of flow because truth and speaking truth was taken away from me so early. And so that's also a big, huge piece of my medicine. Through all my training and through all the things that I've been able to do, I mean, my voice is different than it ever was before this journey, and it still transforms the deeper and more rooted I become and the more I learn. Because I used to have a very high-pitched voice. I talked like a cartoon character. It was very high-pitched. I was talked very quickly, and you really couldn't understand anything I was saying. And that's very far from how I actually speak and what my voice actually sounds like. And that's because I've learned through, the law of correspondence and the law of rhythm that because of all of my training and my practice with the instruments, I can embody it and carry it in my cells and bring it with me, even if I'm not playing them in real time.
Ooh, that was so much, but I loved it. And I'm going to go back to something that you said earlier about how, if you can't see it, you can't free yourself from it, right? And when I talk about accident survival mode, I talk about three phases. The first is self-awareness. We can't change what we can't see. The second one is reprogramming, and that is being able to put down the narratives that we held for so long. You talked about, that victim narrative, the one that you didn't speak the truth, that you were the to blame for the things that happened to you. And then the third is that reinvention, being able to step into a new form, putting down the survival identities that we picked up in order to survive. And I think so much can happen and in the process of healing ourselves. And I think, like you said, there isn't a destination. This is a consistent journey. Like they say, new levels, new devils. There's always something that triggers a part of us that lets us know, okay, we need to dig a little deeper here. And I think in that exploration, it opens up so much to us if we're open to it. But I think oftentimes we are trying to forge a path forward based on what we think it should look like. And it unfold it often unfolds completely different, right? And I think there's so much beauty in being open to the way that things unfold. And I think a huge part of my healing as well was like being able to let go of outcomes. I know what my intentions are, but I'm also open to how I'm being led, because often we're being led in a way, particularly on our healing journey, that opens up the lessons to highlight the areas that we really need to focus on. And if we're very resistant to being open and think that it needs to go on a very specific path, we often shunt ourselves from the potential that is in front of us.
I couldn't agree more. Truly, if we are trying to control things, we're not actually in flow. And so we're not actually allowing our channel to be open to receive the information. So our intuition isn't even on if we're trying to have control over what the journey looks like. And so it's not like I hold a vision of what I want it to look like, and then I'm like, okay, these are all the checkbox steps of how I get there. I'm like, okay, this is what my intention is, just like you said, this is what I would like, and however I'm gonna get there, path unfold. And every step along the way is just another step closer to whatever that is. And I have trust in that. But I've had to build that practice of trust. And that's only come through direct evidence. That's only come from leaning into the intuition. It's only come from taking accountability and taking my power back. It has been from being able to look at those belief systems that I agreed to and those roles that I played and being able to say, I am not no longer subscribing to that. That's not true. It never was true. I wasn't the problem. I never was. And I'm still not now. And so being able to look at all of those things that I've done on survival mode and also say, you are not who you are on survival mode. That's separate from who you are. Those are choices that you made on survival mode that you didn't know you didn't have the option not to. And so forgiving myself for those things that I did, that I said, the places I went, and what I thought I deserved because of the where I was in the world. And that takes a whole lot of practice. And that takes like laying down that shame and blame as a way of life. That takes like wholly loving yourself in the dark. And
Pitch
only when you
black.
go darker, yeah, pitch black. And only when you have gone there to love yourself can you get lighter. And only when you can look at it and say, yes, I did that. Yes, I've been there. And I'm no longer subscribing that to as truth can you liberate from it. Because if we go there and we meet it with judgment, if we go there and we meet it with anger, if we go there and meet it with shame, we've just added another boulder to the
And that is so true, right? And oftentimes we have these expectations that go against natural law, right? So for instance, there's this expectation to be perfect when we know perfect is an illusion, or we have this expectation to be in control, but when we take radical control of our lives, a huge part of that is relinquishing control so that we can grow and evolve in a different way. So when we hold on to these expectations that actually do not serve us, again, it just slows down the process. We have to be open, we have to be willing, and part of radical ownership, which I often talk about on the podcast, is just that, being able to say, I don't have the answers, and I'm willing to surrender in this moment so that I can find them.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why it's so important also to have healing allies on the journey too, because we're going to reach points when we're like, oh my God, I agreed to that thing again and I don't know why. I need help getting out of this place. I need help out of the mud. I need help from this quicksand. Please, somebody help me. And so healing's also not meant to happen alone. We're supposed to do it in community. We're supposed to do it in connection with others. And when we heal, that becomes the biggest pieces of our medicine. And when we share that, we're allowing other people to have the safe space to not be judged, to share their stories too, and I'll figure out how to hold their light and hold the flashlight when they can't find it. And so the path really, again, isn't about the control. The path is also recognizing like the Buddhist idea of perfection. Siddhartha was like, okay, we're in the world, people, okay? 80% of the time is what I'm going for. And I'm not Buddha. I aspire to the 80%, not the 100, because it's unattainable. I'm not even going to try. And that releases a lot of weight from my shoulders from somebody who did try to keep it together all the time. Someone who was trying to look like I had this picture perfect life and all of these good things were happening all the time. Meanwhile, I'm like white knuckling it with the worst anxiety, thinking about how to drive my car into a tree. Like the inside didn't match the outside. And now the inside and the outside are pretty similar. I'm mostly at peace. And when I'm not, there's something for me to learn there. When I'm not at peace, when I'm not experiencing spaciousness, when I don't feel sane, when I don't feel joyous and free, like there is something for me to learn. And the emotions that come with it are also just opportunities for me to go deeper with myself. I don't judge the emotion when it comes. I just am able to, not now, I'm able to observe the stories that come with it and decide. I get to decide. We get to have choose whether or not we give those power. And that's pretty cool to know that we don't have to choose those things, even if it's something we agreed to 10 minutes ago. In 10 minutes, if we feel differently, we can choose not to agree. We can say, nope, I'm unsubscribing, I'm deleting, I cancel, I'm not going with that anymore. And there's a lot of power in knowing that we are ever evolving too.
And so much power in also learning to listen to ourselves, right? Because Being able to tap into our intuition, being able to listen to our body holds so much wisdom. And it speaks to us loudly, right? Like oftentimes, we have these adverse reactions to things and don't really understand why. Like we may walk into a room and instantly feel like, they may call it butterflies, but that disease that creates like a level of anxiety. And prior to healing, we might just have dismissed it. But I guess as we learn to listen to ourselves and learn to tap into when our body is signaling change to us and being able to question it, being able to process it, it gives us space to react differently. It gives us space to show up differently. And that is so powerful. And that I think that's, even in that. In the healing process, even if we just get to a place where we understand what our body is telling us, I think there's so much growth in that. And being able to take action as a result of what we learn, that wisdom that we learn that is innate in us, that is signaling to us from birth, that it seems like it takes us so long to learn how to tap into and really understand.
That's because we've been separated so much from it. Because it's not like they're teaching us how to do this in the world. Our parents didn't know this. They're not teaching it in schools. Our therapists don't know this information. And they should, because psychology is really the study of the spirit, and they've taken the spirit all the way out of it. And so when we're looking at these things, like as long as we've operated inside of the system, and inside of the oppression that we've experienced, and inside of the limitations, like we gotta give ourselves grace to be able to unlearn those things, and for our brain to open up new neural pathways, and for new patterns around the discipline to be created. And the discipline isn't the control or the shame and blame or this check mark. The discipline is like continuing to show up. It's just like continuing to say, like, yes, I'm on this healing path. Yes, I want to come home to my beloved. Yes. And you just keep saying yes to that, no matter how many times you leave it.
Absolutely. Margie, I've really enjoyed this conversation. I really have.
I have too. Thank you.
Yeah, so tell us a bit more about how we can find you online and then the work that you do with clients.
Yeah, absolutely. So if you want to find me online, my business name is Prism of Brilliance. I am on Instagram, I'm on Facebook, and then I have a website. It's prismofbrilliance.biz. I'm located in central Massachusetts, but I also do work virtually. A lot of my work with one-on-one clients is energy for life coaching. So I'm teaching people how to bring these practices into their everyday, because the fact of the matter is that not everyone wants to own a healing space or be a coach themselves. And so I want even the hairdressers, the electricians, the plumbers, the janitors, the people doing my lawn maintenance, the bus drivers, the teachers, like I want them to know that being spiritual and being in this place of healing doesn't mean that you need to leave your worldly job and burn down the matrix. It means that you need to bring that healing with you wherever you are and show somebody else. That's all that it means. And so I'm showing people how to integrate that into their life, because it's not making healing your, like, this again, a check box list of things that you need to do. Not it's not a to-do list. It's bringing it into your life and the tools that you need into your life with how they're going to work in your life. And so if that's 30 seconds of breathing in the morning, then it's 30 seconds of breathing in the morning. If it's 5 minutes of shaking your body in the middle of the day, then it's 5 minutes of shaking your body in the middle of the day. If it's journaling at the end of the night, then it's journaling at the end of the night. If you need to fit, if it's a, any insert tool here, however often you can fit it into your day. It's not 4 hours of intense silent meditation with yourself and 108 sun salutations and go to confession and confess all your sins so someone can judge you. It's not doing 188 mantras and sitting your knees on rice when you've made a bad choice. It's not any of those things to be on the path to healing or be on the path of accountability. It is how can I learn these tools and these practices and integrate them wherever I am? And then because of that, I become so peaceful that my presence helps heal others. You don't have to be a healer or a coach or a bada 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 to do any of that. And so that's what Energy for Life coaching is all about, is teaching people how to integrate that into their life. Then I also have transformational energy sessions where people are coming in, that we are talking about their traumas, we're talking about their limitations, and they're getting on my healing table, and I'm using all of my healing modalities. I am an Energy for Life coaching too. It just looks a little bit different. And those are mostly the sessions that I do virtually. I also, like I said, I'm trained in past life recognition, so that's working with the Akashic, opening our blueprint, being able to go through past lifetimes, working with our generational healing. And so I also do past life recognition sessions as well. And those, the focus is liberating trauma that has been with us for generations, and also bringing forward our gifts that have been hidden because of those traumas that are in our timelines, not just our timelines, in our ancestors' timelines as well. So we can bring forth those gifts, but we can also release those traumas. So it's liberating not just for ourselves, it's liberating for everyone who walked before us, and then creating a new path forward for everyone who's going to come after us, which is really great work. I also do a lot of group work. So I work and do a lot of group meditations, group sound baths. I do a lot of things with corporate clients, teaching them about emotional resilience, teaching them about mindfulness, bringing breath work and sound into corporate settings to teach teams and organizations how to incorporate that into maybe their wellness offerings. And then I teach workshops as well, like Natural Law 101, which is a big one that I'm doing right now. And then I do group energy healings, group journeys, those sorts of things.
Okay, I love it all. So we'll put your information in the show notes so the audience can connect with you. So before we wrap it all up, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
The thing I want the audience to action is start to identify a belief system that you feel like is limiting you. So that can feel like anything that feels very constricting, like you're in a box. It's hard to breathe when you think of that belief system. So some big ones that I hear a lot of is like, it's better to give than receive, right? That's a huge one that comes up for a lot of people as a belief system. And so I want you to, and that's very constricting. It's very constricting to think that worry is a form of love. That doesn't feel liberating. Worry as a form of love is another one. It also doesn't feel very like you're filling your cup. If it's better to give than receive, then you're not allowing yourself to be open. And so those are two big belief systems that come in a lot. So start to identify the belief systems that you're holding that feel like you're in a box, that feel like they're really heavy, and start to challenge them. Start to decide if that's what you want to continue to believe in, whether or not it was a belief system handed down to you from your grandmother, your great grandmother, your grandfather, your mom, your dad. It doesn't matter. They were well-intentioned, but they didn't know what they didn't know. And I'm letting you know that you don't have to agree to them anymore, even if it was something that was passed down.
You owe it to yourself to challenge your beliefs. I think it's so liberating. Well, Margie, thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. And audience, thank you for catching another episode. I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. Disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. And I will see you next week. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose, because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.